Hi, friends. Welcome to Bayou to Beltway. I'm your host, Pearson Cross. Today, we're joined by two distinguished Lafayette persons. We're joined by Dr. Don Aguilar, who is superintendent of the Lafayette Parish School System. He has been here since May of 2015. Before that, he was superintendent of St. Mary. He was born in Evangeline Parish, a very, very small town. We're also joined by Jason Elkubi, who came over here from, he's originally raised up by Fort Polk. He was at LSU, and he was assistant secretary at LED before moving on to Baton Rouge Chamber of Commerce, consolidated, and now he is president and CEO of the One Acadiana. So it's the multi-parish acronym that is in charge of what used to be chamber activities around this area.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we're all here today to talk about education, in particular the sales tax proposal that's going to ideally raise money for public schools in Lafayette Parish. It's on the ballot April 29th. Turning to Superintendent Aguilar, is there a specific need for this tax?
Good morning, Pearson. I believe there is a very profound need for addressing particularly facilities as it relates to temporary classrooms, temporary buildings. The district owns approximately 500 of these temporary classrooms, metal buildings, sometimes called butler buildings. We currently have an estimated 6,000 students daily who are educated in these temporary classrooms, roughly 20% of our population. The inventory has an average age of about 40 years, and so we believe that's a high priority in terms of facility needs.
How much money is going to be raised, ideally, from this sales tax?
So roughly $24 million, of which $194 million is targeted for facility improvements specifically on 12 campuses.
Now, not all of that is going to go specifically to, assuming it would pass, to temporary classrooms. Is that right?
You're correct. That revenue stream from this half-cent sales tax would provide $3 million annually for additional maintenance to existing campuses.
Is it going to build any new schools?
There are two new elementary schools proposed in the proposition, Karen Crow Heights Elementary and Prairie Elementary, set to be replaced by way of this tax. Lafayette High is the only non-elementary facility targeted on this tax proposition. Lafayette High would receive what we would call a ninth grade academy. Lafayette High has 31 metal temporary classrooms. We envision building a multi-story, standalone ninth grade academy that would be used to teach the core subjects to ninth graders. That multi-story building would also have a new cafeteria for Lafayette High, as well as new instructional areas for band and chorus. The remaining 11 campuses would receive wings to address their temporary buildings.
This is kind of a down payment on infrastructure needs across the parish. Is that right?
You're correct. Over the past 5 years, the district has been able to flex its revenue stream and begin to make significant improvements. As examples, the new cafetorium at L.J. Alamon, improvements to G.T. Linden, Youngsville Middle, David Thibodeau, and Northside High School, and most recently, during my tenure, the new Southside High School and a new elementary school set for construction in the Broussard area, B.O. Elementary School. So the district has made about $200 million worth of facility improvements over the past 5 years. Using its existing revenue stream, this half-cent sales tax is that next down payment on facility needs. It represents about $200 million of additional work to be done. So this is going to be a multi-year, perhaps multi-decade kind of endeavor to bring our facilities up to current standards.
Is this tax request unusual in comparison with other parishes? Does it create a tax structure that is similar to other parishes, or is it different?
Well, yeah, I was looking this morning at districts who have recently begun to make capital improvement requests to voters. Ascension Parish just recently authorized the voters $120 million worth of projects to be completed. Iberia Parish in 2013 asked their voters for $60 million for facility improvements. St. Martin Parish did as well. Lafayette's proposal is slightly different than those three parishes mentioned in that the board felt that the voters had greater assurance using a sales tax funding mechanism rather than property taxes. And so it's not unusual for districts to propose facility improvements using new revenue streams. I think it's reasonable.
Now, you noted that this is a sales tax rather than a property tax. Where are we in terms of sales tax? This takes us up to the limit, doesn't it, in terms of the parish? I mean, that's one of the reasons why there was a half cent rather than, say, a cent or some other margin, right?
You're correct. There are several municipalities in Lafayette Parish that will push up to the full constitutional limit of 10%. That just happens to be what we felt, the board members felt, and responses from citizens that they preferred a sales tax approach. One of the strongest arguments for using sales tax is that roughly 30% of the revenue generated will come from people who live outside of Lafayette Parish. And so that appears to be a very strong, compelling argument that property taxes in Lafayette, very conservative climate in Lafayette as it relates to property taxes. The consensus was, let's offer the voters a sales tax.
How do we relate to other parishes in terms of taxation to support public schools?
So we looked at One Acadiana specifically helped us crunch numbers. Lafayette currently falls in the bottom 20% of school districts in the state of Louisiana in terms of its taxes, property and sales taxes to support public education. We estimate by adding this half-cent sales tax that Lafayette gets midway through the pack in terms of school districts as it relates to per-pupil funding for education.
Well, Lafayette certainly aims higher than bottom 20% or even middle of the pack. So this seems incongruous in terms of our kind of stated desire to move the region ahead, to move the Lafayette Parish ahead. So how do you explain this kind of gap between the things you hear people talking about and the actual reality?
It's a complex formula that's used to fund public education. The calculation assumes that based on the tax base of a parish, that the parish has the capacity and the responsibility to provide additional funding for education. In the case of the MFP formula for state funding, Lafayette is considered has having a stronger capacity to support public education. We have not thus far, according to that formula, really fulfilled our responsibility.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but according to that formula, if we were to provide more local money for public education, we would actually get more money from the state through the formula. Is that correct?
Well, that's a complex formula. It's not necessarily guaranteed that you would get an additional state dollars. What we know is that if we impose additional taxes to support public education, we collect more money for public education in Lafayette Parish. The state says that's largely the district's responsibility. So we're seeing parishes such as Calcasieu Parish that has a much smaller tax base than Lafayette, but yet they collect more local taxes. And so What happens is they collect more local taxes, and then the MFP formula helps them, provides them more state dollars because of their smaller tax base.
And Calcasieu would be the area that, you know, is probably our reference city. You know, we think about Lake Charles, and they're having a big boom there. So we certainly want to maybe keep up with that area. Answer this question. What would you say if someone said, and I saw some of this on Facebook, in regard to this tax proposal, that people said, you know, this is just one more governmental entity that wants to get more of your dollars, and they're going to waste these dollars, and there's never enough dollars. And so we're just being scammed again. We're giving money to the government.
Well, what I would say is that 20% of our students are educated in temporary buildings. So roughly 6,000 students are accommodated in temporary buildings. When you add 2, 4, 6, 8 temporary classrooms to a campus, the core service areas, the cafeteria, the number of restroom stalls, the library, the administrative wings can accommodate that increase in student population. Unfortunately, we have many elementary campuses that have 12, 14, 16, 18, up to 32 additional temporary buildings, temporary classrooms. The cafeteria is woefully mis-sized for the current population. The number of bathroom stalls is inadequate. The library is too small. Citizens of Lafayette need to consider that 20% of our classrooms today are temporary buildings. This proposition going to the voters brings us whole, brings us closer to having our core buildings and service areas sized correctly for the population on these campuses.
Let's follow that up. So have we been gaining students? I think we're right around 30,500 students right now. Is that right?
So the population has been relatively stable. We 3 years ago began to have charter schools moving into Lafayette Parish. Roughly 2,000 students were pulled out of the district. However, the district has been growing at about 150 to 200 students annually. So it's not to say that we're seeing an inordinate population increase. What we are addressing are these long-standing temporary accommodations on these campuses.
Yeah, affecting, what is it, 1 in 5, you said?
1 in 5, roughly 6,000 students.
Including, just for the record, my children, who are one of which is in a temporary building and has been for his entire career in Lafayette Public Schools, which, you know, as a parent certainly has an effect on me as I go to my child's school and I walk through the part of the building that seems nicer and then get to the kind of huts in the back and there's my child. So clearly. But we also we're going to go to break now, and when we come back, we're going to hear from the CEO of One Acadiana, Jason Okubi, on these some of these issues, and we hope to draw you back into that conversation too, Dr. Aguilar.
Running a business requires smart decisions every day. Make a good decision for your company today and reach other businesses through KRVS program sponsorship. For more information, call 337-482-1437.
Has listening to KRVS become a part of your life? Are there times and places that you associate with listening? Moments of refuge where listening to the credible news and the beauty of music simply make your life better? If so, please consider supporting that quality programming by including KRVS in your retirement plan or will. You'll help keep the airwaves full of great music and culture well into the future. For more information, go online to krvs.org or talk with your financial advisor. And thank you for your support.
Welcome back to Bayou de Beltway. Today we have Superintendent of Schools for Lafayette Parish, Don Aguilar, and CEO, President of One Acadiana, Jason Okubi. We've been talking with Dr. Aguilar about some of the school system issues and the reality of the tax base and so on. Let's turn over to Mr. El-Khoubi. Why is One Acadiana supporting this tax? You are supporting this tax, as I understand.
Yeah, and let me say before I go into it that it's great to hear Dr. Aguilar and you talk about this, because I think that as people take in the reality of the situation we're in, the crisis that we are in as a parish in terms of our school facilities, and as people hear the solution that the school board has put forward, by the way, they did that with a vote of 9-0. Every single school board member voted to put this opportunity on the ballot coming up on April 29th. I think once you hear the case and you look at how the solution to this crisis is structured, it's just hard to deny. And, you know, there's a lot of misinformation out there right now. And so for everybody listening, I hope that you can appreciate how One Acadiana has evaluated this. About a year ago, we put together a group of business and civic leaders to understand the challenges that the school system was dealing with. We looked at their budget comprehensively. We made sure that the existing resources were being deployed efficiently and effectively. And what we realized is that in the absence of additional revenue, and again, there are 69 public school districts in Louisiana. In terms of funding per pupil, the Lafayette Parish School System is 65 out of 69. It's worse than bottom 20%. We are almost at the very bottom. And the reality is that in terms of cost of living and other things, it takes a little bit more to attract and retain teachers and so forth in this parish. And so we really needed a dedicated solution to fix the facilities crisis, with nearly 500 temporary buildings on Lafayette's campuses. And so as the One Acadiana leadership dug into this and looked at supporting the tax proposal for public facilities, public school facilities, there were really four reasons why this particular structure, this particular proposal resonated. The first is that it's 100% dedicated to addressing facility needs. Taking a big cut at the existing temporary classrooms, eliminating 248 of them, and replacing those temporary classrooms with permanent facilities in a cost-effective construction method. We were impressed that the school system chose a group of schools to focus on that was geographically distributed across the entire parish. People in every part of Lafayette will benefit from the passage of this proposal. We like the fact that it was dedicated not just in terms of dollars that can only be used for facilities, construction, and maintenance, but also dedicated in a very transparent sense, where the ballot language that folks will vote on April 29th is tied to a resolution that lists the schools that will benefit from this tax proposal. And finally, we like the fact that there was accountability. There's going to be an external audit every year presented at a public meeting so that folks will have assurance that these dollars are being spent in the way that they're intended to be. And so it's dedicated, it's geographically balanced, it's very cost-effective in terms of the construction, it is transparent, and it's accountable. And that is why the One Acadiana Group, along with a very diverse collection of civic organizations,
could you speak to that a little bit?
Are supporting the tax. Absolutely. I mean, you know, we are a diverse parish, and what we found is that pretty much everybody – we know that there's probably 30% or so of voters who are going to vote against taxes, period. It is a reflexive response. And so what we're finding is that, you know, anybody who's willing to just listen to the case, listen to the crisis that we're dealing with and listen to the details of the proposal as Dr. Aguillard has laid them out, is responding positively. So groups ranging from the Acadiana Center for the Arts to the Concerned Citizens for Good Government, Parents Empowered, which is a group of parents that are in the school system, the State of Greater Black Lafayette, the United Way of Acadiana, the Upper Lafayette Economic Development Foundation, the Realtor Association of Acadiana. They realize that, you know, this is going to improve people's home prices and so forth. The Lafayette Parish Association of Educators. That's the union that represents the teachers. So a very diverse group of civic organizations, business organizations, professional organizations are supporting this proposal. And we saw just a week or two ago that the Lafayette City Parish Council has also endorsed this sales tax proposal through a resolution of their own. And so I think what's important here is that people understand why such a broad coalition of community organizations have supported the superintendent and the school system in this proposal. We think it's incredibly important that people get out and vote. Early voting starts on April 15th. And runs through April 22nd. The location for early voting is 1010 Lafayette Street on the third floor. That's in downtown Lafayette, 1010 Lafayette Street on the third floor. And then, of course, the election date itself, if you can't get to the polls for early voting, is on Saturday, April 29th. That's the same Saturday as Festival International.
Oh,
so
boy.
Be sure to vote before you go out to hear the music.
Now, turning back to Dr. Aguillard for a little bit, the district is doing better, right? I mean, there's some recent scores that you're pretty happy about, as I understand. You want to tell us what those have been doing?
Absolutely, and I'm very, very pleased. There are a number of accountability measures that are used to judge district capacity and performance. Lafayette Parish increased in every accountability measure that goes into that accountability formula. We were about 10 points away from becoming an A-rated school district. 2 years ago when I interviewed for the position, we made a commitment to grow about 2.5 accountability points annually, taking us about 4 years to become an A-rated school district. This past year, we grew 7.1 accountability points, 7/10 of the way to our target of becoming an A-rated school district. We're just beginning accountability testing this year. We're making a serious push to become A-rated in a 2-year time frame as compared to 4 that was originally proposed. We're excited about where the school system is. We've got very robust programs, academic programs in place. This happens to be a facility need that can be addressed and hopefully will be decided by voters on April 29.
Turning back to Jason, what's the now you don't usually see people from business organizations advocating for more taxes. So tell me, what's the effect of a tax like this on business and development in Lafayette, and what's the complex kind of situation in terms of appropriate educational investment and, you know, business growth?
Yeah, you're right. You know, and I think the reason that a business association like One Acadiana has gotten behind this is that we recognize that you get what you pay for. And when we looked at how the parish of Lafayette compares to other large parishes in Louisiana, both in terms of property taxes and in terms of sales taxes, what we realized is that we are the lowest tax parish of all of the ones that we looked at.
But that's a good thing, right? And,
well,
wouldn't some people say, yeah, that's great?
It is a good thing to be competitive from a tax standpoint. But it is not good if you are woefully inadequate in terms of basic services that are important from a quality of life perspective and in terms of investing in your economic future. And so it's very important to get the balance right. And we know that we are in a conservative community, but at the end of the day, we're also in a community that cares deeply about family and children and education. And I think we're also a community that has a pride of place. And it's hard to see it on the radio, but go to yesforourschools.com and look at the shocking condition of our school facilities. That is what 6,000 children every single day experience. 6,000 children every day in temporary facilities, many of which are many decades old. And so it's important that we fix this problem. And that is why One Acadiana is supporting this proposal that's coming up on the ballot on April 29th. Remember, this is a half cent. That means if you go out to dinner and you spend, you know, if you have a nice dinner and it's, you know, maybe you spend $100, this is going to add an extra 50 cents to your bill, 50 cents on a $100 expenditure. And by the way, this would exempt prescription drug purchases. It would exempt all of your grocery purchases. So many of the basic needs that families need to spend money on are exempt from this tax proposal. And so this is a very responsible solution to one of the greatest needs we had.
Now, in the past, Louisianans have always looked to the state, you know, to jump in and give us money. So give us money to develop buildings and give us money to do this and that. But the state hasn't really given us much money lately in terms of education. Is that correct?
There really hasn't been any new expenditure for public education. Our state funding has been frozen for several years now. I don't think we can expect Baton Rouge to help us with this problem.
Yeah, certainly not in a time everybody's talking about how in the world are we going to balance the budget in Baton Rouge. I don't think they're going to come up with lots of money for education, and we know that the capital outlay budget's pretty clogged up too. So with transportation being the issue that seems to be infrastructure related, it's unclear that they would provide a whole bunch of new money for school building and so on. So if we can't look to the states for help, we're going to have to look to ourselves.
That's right. We've got to get this done. This is something that we know is not only important to the way our community looks, it's not only important to our quality of life, it's not only important to the future of our children, it's also something that is critically important from a business and economic development perspective. When we launched One Acadiana, we had a leading site selection consultant in town to evaluate our region. Site consultants provide guidance to approximately 30% of the major business location decisions. And what he told us is that his tour gave him the impression that Lafayette is a community that does not invest in its public school facilities and thus may not place a high value on education. He strongly encouraged us to make this kind of investment. When we're talking to a business that's considering creating jobs here, public education is typically the first question they ask. And the last question they ask. And so for folks out there who want to put us on firmer economic footing, it's incredibly important to support this proposal.
Well, you'll have a chance on April 29th, and then there's early voting April 15th through the 22nd. We've been talking today with Don Aguilar and Jason Okubi. Thanks for coming to the show.
Thank you.
Bayou to Beltway is copyrighted by KRVS for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without written consent of KRVS is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of KRVS, its officers, and members.
Resurrection was what it was all about, and this tax collector had gotten himself a taste of it. It was biblical.
Hi, I'm David Sedaris, and I'm excited to be hosting this week's Selected Shorts from PRI, Public Radio International.
Friday at 6 p.m. here on KRVS.
Begin your Monday afternoons with world music centered on harps in all forms from around the world. Tune into Harpistry Mondays at noon and Sundays at midnight right here on KRVS.